This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malevsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
He's back in my hot seat. I'm so excited. John Check is the executive director of cyber protection solutions for RTX.com. It's Raytheon Technologies, one of the coolest companies. I think they have about $64 billion with a B in revenue, which keeps him very, very busy. John, welcome back to the hot seat.
Thanks, Gary. I'm delighted to be back. Really, really excited about this.
So speaking of being busy, you know, we're understaffed. We've got a lot of pressure in cyber. There's been a lot of new developments. A lot of companies are trying to keep up with the bad guys by adding AI and machine learning and big data lakes. But ultimately, it all boils down to your people, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Gary. Without people, you can automate all you want. You still need people to really think through the hardest problems and put together those solutions that cover the full enterprise.
And at Raytheon Technologies, your mission is really to help protect our way of life and to defend forward. So in doing so, that keeps you so busy. Does your team get overstressed? And how do you deal with these kinds of stressful situations of attacks and breaches and all that kind of stuff?
Well, one of the most critical parts of trying to reduce the stress level first is making sure the team practices. And cyber is a team sport, so everybody has to understand their role. And if you're asking somebody in the middle of a crisis to do something they're not comfortable with, immediately their stress level is going to go through the roof. So there are certain things around just the preparing for those events that are inevitable. We all know they're going to happen. It's just a matter of when they're going to happen, you know, typically during a holiday weekend or some off hour. But really making sure that everybody understands their role and they're comfortable with that. That's one way to reduce the stress. Another way is to ensure that when something is happening, you can see somebody really getting upset or maybe lashing out in the way they wouldn't normally when there isn't a crisis at hand. Really going over to them, talking, say, hey, maybe just take a quick break. Go take a walk around outside. Go get a coffee, get some of the drink. Maybe it's something that's not caffeinated. I don't know. It depends on the person. To say, hey, just take a moment. It's okay. We've got this. We're a team. We can do this. It'll be great. When you get back, you probably will have thought of something because you cleared your head for a few minutes and you'll be able to jump right back in and be, you know, helping us with the fight that we're facing.
Now, cyber folks are living and breathing in cyberspace. We're in front of computers, you know, 8, 10, 12, 14 hour days, which can get stressful and sedentary in lifestyle. And some people get carpal tunnel syndrome. There's other issues. Do you think just not only taking a break, but spending quality time with family, finding time to go outdoors, you know, hike a mountain, do something different, even though it gets you away from the phone or the computer?
Absolutely, Gary. And we're not breaking any new ground in cyber here. It's well proven that people that take care of their mental and physical health are more productive at work. They have better capacity to work longer when they need to, because they know that they've taken the breaks and they've recharged along the way, and they have a support system that helps them do those things. That's one of the hardest parts when you've got something you need to address and you say, well, I'll just skip my workout today, right? That gets back to, you know, Gary, at least in my mind, the biggest lie somebody ever says is that, hey, I'll start losing weight tomorrow, right? I'll start working out tomorrow. I can just skip today because I've got this crisis. But really, you need to make time for yourself, the physical side and the mental side. That pays huge dividends. And that's not something that cyber realized, right? That's well documented for a long time that's important to do.
Yeah, we get so trapped in our digital world and it's fun and it's exciting and, you know, the endorphins are flowing and, you know, stopping the bad guys. But we also have to have that balance, as you say. And it seems to me consistency is part of your message. Even if it's a short walk or a short break, do it every day. Take the time to get away from the computer so that you'll be great when you're back in front of it.
I call them exercise snacks, Gary. So what I do is I have my dumbbells, and I'm not going to tell you what the numbers are, but there are two digits. So, you know, to say, hey, I'm going to go take 5 minutes and just do a quick workout, just step away for 5 minutes. It's great because I can't think about the problem of the day and count the reps at the same time. So it totally clears my mind.
So, John, one of the biggest problems we're noticing, and it creates a lot of the stress, is there's so many job openings in cyber. I believe we're into the millions now worldwide, and they continue to climb because people aren't trained in cyber. People aren't coming out of college fast enough. They're not getting enough experience. Is it something we can change? Is there a way to attract more people to our industry? Do they have to come from our industry?
I'd say, you know, one thing about cyber, so there's a couple parts of this. So one is, for a cybersecurity team, the people actually sitting in front of their keyboards to be effective, there's a whole group of people behind them that have to help them get to that point where they can actually do that work. There's procurement, there's contracts, there's legal, there's the HR people, there's, you know, a whole multitude of people that enable them to be able to perform at their top, at their peak, when they need to. So it's not just the specific people with, you know, their hands on keyboards doing the defending, it's all the other support as well. So sometimes people hear it's a cyber job, that is finance related. They get turned off because they hear cyber first and not maybe they're a great finance person that just needs to understand the cyber business. So one aspect of it is, it's not just the cyber people, it's all the people that help them to be able to do that, you know, the subject matter experts that support them. Second part really is, when you're talking about cyber and the workforce, you can't wait for the perfect resume. Take a chance on people that don't have a cyber background or that perfect pedigree that says, I went to this school and studied whatever cyber security curriculum for X number of years. Take a chance on people that have certain skill sets, someone that's very inquisitive, someone that's shown that they've done investigations in the past, someone that understands how to problem solve and stays calm under pressure. Look for different skills and take a chance on people. If you're waiting for the perfect resume in cyber, you're gonna have a long list of open field, unfilled positions that are gonna keep you from doing the job you need to.
And the good news is there's tons of training programs that are online. So for example, and I think you've hit the nail on the head, criminal justice majors, right? Someone who has a degree in criminal justice might love cyber because of the investigations, the forensics, the threat hunting. It's all the same, it's just digital.
Exactly right. And you know, one thing about it, the human behaviors are all the same. So if you've learned human behaviors that motivate people or how people do certain types of criminal activities, those same things apply to cybersecurity. It really, it's just a matter of understanding what tools you're using to enable your workflow and your job.
Now, do you think since, you know, post-COVID, we're talking about the work from home dilemma, which in some businesses, everyone loves it. Some businesses, they don't. They've got hybrid executives now. They'll go in the office once in a while. But that means they're using devices, the BYOD situation, bring your own device, where it may not get to the office for a month or two or 6 months. And I question, you know, what's the hygiene of that device? Is this becoming a big problem for all of us in cybersecurity? Is the home computing environment now the you know, high risk profile for hackers and cyber criminals and cyber terrorists to go after?
Well, I hate to get into the buzzword part of this, Gary, but I think that's one of the reasons why zero trust is becoming such an imperative, because we know we can't trust those devices. So how are you going to ensure that that person that's working from home can do the job you want them to do, are accessing the data you're expecting them to access, are doing the things on your environment that you expect them to do? So that's one of the big pushes and reasons for zero trust is, you can't trust those devices. You'll never be, like you said, you'll never be able to patch them all or manage them or understand exactly what somebody may be doing with that device when they're not doing work-related activities with it. So by really establishing that true zero trust enterprise environment, that's when you can say, okay, I can accept the risk of that device coming on because I've done all these things to ensure that that person is doing exactly what I expect them to do when they're doing their work on their personal device.
Is identity and access management becoming a subcategory of zero trust? Is zero trust the be all end all from, you know, the computer to the user, to their identity, to the things they're accessing, to the data? How do you see it kind of playing out over the next few years?
So that's just identity and access management is one piece. Really, I think of it from the lowest level of the firmware on a device all the way through to the person that's sitting on that untrusted device at their home office and everywhere in the middle. You really have to protect the data at every layer. So it's not just about the identity access management. It's also about ensuring that you're protecting the boot devices. You're ensuring you're protecting the data properly to understand, okay, is somebody downloading a bunch of stuff they shouldn't be and they're sitting in the office and you know who they are, right? It's really all access of data loss prevention. It's using hardware that's specifically designed to promote a zero trust environment. That's one of the things that Raytheon that we've really done is establish that end-to-end full enterprise view. And so one of the challenges is where we are in the maturity of zero trust, a lot of times people default to, okay, if I've done an identity access management solution, I've got my zero trust you know, box checked. I've done zero trust. And that's just one step along the journey, right, to ensure that you're really doing the number one job of zero trust, which is protecting the data and ensuring that people are doing what you expect them to do on your network.
John, that makes so much sense. Is there anything else we haven't covered that you want to share with our viewers and listeners?
Well, I think the number one thing I would say is, you know, if you are a cybersecurity professional, take a chance on a friend that isn't a cyber person and you know, grab them by the shoulder, give them a hug and say, come on, let's join the cyber fight together and get them to take a risk, because that's what it's going to take for all of us. We need to take some positive risk, which is getting more people to join us. I think if we can do that and let people know it's okay that you're going to do the training aspects, you know, the cyber academy type aspects that, you know, we're very focused on for employees. We know they're not going to have all the skills that we're expecting to have. We know we're going to have to train them to think like an attacker and go through some real world scenarios. So I would say that's the number one thing. Any cyber person out there, find a friend that is not that's scared of cyber and say, come join the fight with us and really bring more people into it.
That's great advice. I mean, you could go to the TSA and they're trained professionals looking for bad behavior and find one of the genius ones who loves to play with his or her computer all the time.
Absolutely.
And say, you ought to jump into the cyber field. You make more money and you leverage a skill that you really want to use.
That's exactly right. That's one way to certainly get the hook in, Gary. Say there's more money involved in cyber.
Love it. Love it. You know, John, every interview with you is awesome. Great advice as usual. So folks, we got John Check, Executive Director of Cyber Protection Solutions from one of my favorite companies. It's RTX, RaytheonTechnologies.com, an incredible company with great solutions. And folks, go visit his website, learn more. And if you're not in cyber and you want to be in cyber, the training's out there, the job openings are there. Take advantage of it.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio with your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.